And welcome again to Brew Crew Online. I'm Benjamin Orr.
And I'm Colin Bennett.
The Brewers are finally on a winning streak, and, you know, no better time for that than really the third week of baseball.
Yeah, no, and we talked about an earlier podcast about, you know, April is the time to find your momentum, and they're doing it to a great degree.
Yeah, and I mean, they're doing it against decent teams, too. I mean, they at that last win against St. Louis, they got two wins against the Giants, and they're playing right now up 2-0, thanks to a Ryan Braun home run. But really, last night's game, it looked pretty good for a while. I mean, Lowe's had a no-hitter through five innings, and then he kind of fell apart a little bit. But he was able to rebound and pitch really seven strong innings, but with no run support.
Yeah, and I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, that happened to Estrada last year. We saw a lot of great starts from Estrada with just nothing in terms of offense for him. And even, I mean, Gallardo had a shaky start last season and then sort of started to build it up until the offense caught up to him, and then he had that amazing win streak through the end of the season. But, yeah, the important thing is, I mean, I think Loesch was probably in just a touch over when he should have been, but considering the situation, he had a fantastic performance going, and sometimes when it rains, it pours, you know?
Yeah, and then, you know, you bring in Badenhop and Henderson after him. Henderson getting the win, going to 2-0. And really, like I said before, a lot last season, I don't really believe records are really a great indication of how well a reliever can do, but I think Henderson's really found a good niche here in the bullpen. You know, he's currently, I guess you can call him a closer for right now, but, you know, Henderson's looked really good this season so far.
Henderson has, yeah. I was, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't have a whole lot of trust in Henderson. I don't have a specific justification for that. It was just more of a gut feeling thing. I wasn't sure about him. But he's done really well. Kinsler has done very well. And even Badenhop and Gorzolani are starting to bounce back a little bit. So it's nice to see that the bullpen seems to be coming into a rhythm. And even Axford, the last, I think he only had a couple innings, but he's been doing really well. You know, like we talked about, him being in more low-leverage situations has, I think, helped him kind of get back to where he should be.
Yeah, I mean, even like guys like Mike Gonzalez, who started out really rough, but he's been doing really well since then. Hasn't allowed a run since that blow up that he had. And then obviously Alfredo Figueroa's done amazing for the team. So the bullpen, I really don't have that many concerns about right now. You know, 2 months from now, we might be saying a different story. But as of right now, I mean, they look really solid.
Yeah. Which I suppose probably has you a little confused about the news this week that the Brewers signed Francisco Rodriguez to a minor league deal.
Yeah, and it's not that, and we've talked before about K-Rod, and it's not that K-Rod is a bad pitcher. He's really not. He just didn't have the greatest of time last season with 4.38 ERA, 7 blown saves. The thing about K-Rod is he is not a reliever unless he's in the closer role. If he's in the closer role, he can pitch fine. Otherwise, he's going to have problems, and a lot of them. And, you know, he did well when he came over here in 2011 from the Angels. But, you know, 2012 was a completely different story. And, I mean, I obviously, you know, Colin and I were talking about this beforehand. It is a very low-risk, you know, thing for the Brewers because he signed him to a minor league deal. They have 30 days to decide what they're going to even do with him, and if not, they can't find anything to do with him, then he just goes back to free agency. But I just don't really get it. Obviously, you know, bullpen depth doesn't hurt you at all, but you saw what he did last year, and I just don't know if you really want that again this year, you know?
Yeah, and I was talking about it with some people from the Wisconsin Sports Blog and Disciples of Euchre last night, and really, I can see why a lot of people would be confused by this move, and people would think that Doug Melvin is scrambling a little. But when you're in the position that the Brewers front office finds themselves in this early in the season, pretty much anything you do is going to look like a scramble. But really, I mean, more options aren't bad. And like we said, a minor league deal costs next to nothing. The rate for what he would get if he comes up to the big club would be a little bit different. That would be a different story entirely, really. But for the moment, I have no problem with it. And if he comes up and performs, I mean, what's the problem, you know? And a lot of people probably said the same thing about, you know, Kyle Loesch and Yonesky Betancourt, and here we are with them doing quite well.
Yeah, it's funny how that really works out, because you have these older veterans that just, you're like, okay, they don't have much left in the tank. And it's not like K-Rod's really that old. He's only 31, and that's still pretty good for a reliever who, as good as K-Rod is, you know, still has a lot of, like, you know, gas left in the tank. He's, I believe, six saves shy of 300. So, I mean, he has a lot, you know, to still offer. But with the Brewers right now, I mean, even if, say, Axford, and this is just hypothetical, say Axford isn't the closer going forward, well, then you have Jim Henderson for that. And I just don't know if Rodriguez really fits in, because the Brewers seem to have options other than him. And obviously, like you said, it doesn't hurt to have him to fall back on. But, I mean, if he gets into more jams, then you know you've been down this road before.
Right.
So, but the biggest thing, though, that came out of yesterday, just, you know, it wasn't obviously the shocking news that, oh, hey, K-Rod's back. But, you know Blake Lawley, in last night's game, was heading into the ninth inning, 3-3 game. You know, Brewers start to get on, they start to attack, and Blake Lawley hits this really bloop single to left field that Gregor Blanco was not prepared for. And even if he would have caught it, I mean, Josh Prince would have scored regardless. But, you know, Blanco really misplayed the ball, and it was amazing, Lawley with that walk-off single.
Yeah, and when I was watching that yesterday, I couldn't help but think about him and Josh Prince and Chris Davis to some degree, and even Yonesky Betancourt, who, holy God, they intentionally walked him.
Like, you can't predict baseball. You just can't.
Right. And you think about what you need to build a championship, and you think about the Brewers' run in 2011 and some of the people that made the difference there. You talk about guys like Niger Morgan, you know, and even, you know, and some of the other kind of off-the-bench guys that made a big difference that year. It's, I mean, that's what it takes, and we have a lot of those players. Right now, Uni B is playing out of his mind, and nobody knows why. But we are very happy that it's happening. And Carlos Gomez has found his swing again in the last week or so, with that big triple yesterday too. Lucroy's getting his swing back and he's made an immense stride in his two-strike approach. Even from last year, it's, remarkably different the way that he approaches, he approaches an at-bat when he gets up in the count. And these are the types of things you like to see and the types of things that are going to sustain winning ways throughout the season.
Yeah, and, you know, consistency is the key in baseball, especially when it comes to offense. And that's something that the Brewers certainly didn't lack last year and hopefully won't lack this year. I mean, obviously, yeah, Uni B just really playing above and beyond where a lot of people expected him to be. You know, Carlos Gomez, you know, like you said, hit that triple, went 3-for-4 last night. It's just Logan Schaefer comes on, gets a pinch hit, you know, gets a single. And it's just how, you know, this happens. You don't want to say that it's luck or just a fluke with some of these guys, because really sometimes it isn't. I mean, if they turn around and end up being really good, then hey, you know, you have Logan Schaefer who's really good as a bench option, and it's not like that's really a bad thing to say, because you could say, okay, well, Oki needs a day off, or if Gomez needs a day off, or if Braun needs a day off, then you have a solo person to go back and back them up. And, you know, maybe that would be the case with Yonesky Betancourt. Maybe that would be the case with Alex Gonzalez. You know, it's hard to tell right now, obviously, only in the third week of baseball. So, you know, the season's still very, very, very young. But, hey, I mean, it's pretty incredible what the Brewers are starting to do now. They're starting to make some noise, starting to build up some momentum. And what if they can do it offensively, that's great, because, you know, the pitching is soon going to follow them. And, yeah, it's just, I think it's just one of those things you're better off just letting have happen instead of questioning it, so you don't want to jinx it. But, hey, it's pretty incredible right now.
Right. Well, sometimes, you know, it does seem just like they're turning a switch on, you know what I mean? And we saw that with Ricky and his big surge at the end of last season. He's struggling again right now, but all of a sudden he just turned it on, and there it was. And even Braun, you know, with his start today with a big 2-run home run early in the game too. It's just as simple. Sometimes you get a decent pitch, and then all of a sudden you're seeing the ball a lot better from here on out. And it's hard to explain sometimes how people get into a rhythm with hitting, and even more so how people get in a rhythm with pitching. But it sure is nice to see. And like you said, you don't want to look into it too much.
Yeah, you know, and Braun, you know, I don't know if a lot of that was still due to the fact that he's having neck problems, probably with his spasms, because that's not something that's easy to come back from. A lot of people think, oh, well, you know, you just bounce back from it. Not really, especially when you're going down to swing, you're looking at the ball and you're moving your neck all the time. It's not the easiest thing in the world to come back from. But, no, I mean, he was hitting the ball well last night, got walked 3 times, so the patience is there for him. But, you know, I was watching Quick Pitch this morning at work, and they were saying that Braun hadn't struck out 4 times in one game until Tuesday. So, I mean, that's pretty incredible considering he's been in the major leagues for about 7 years. So,
yeah.
But, no, I mean, and the impressive thing about the Brewers is, I mean, like I said, they're not doing this against, you know, the Cubs. Well, they sort of are, because, I mean, we did win one game against the Cubs. But, I mean, they're not doing this against the bottom dwellers of baseball. They're doing this against, you know, teams that are in the NLCS and, you know, the Giants who won the World Series last year. So, I mean, they're playing some really good ball, and they're making a lot of teams second guess how they go about their approaches, because, you know, baseball, like I said, really isn't one of those things you can predict. It just happens. And, you know, the Brewers got in that really good run last, at the end, towards the last season, and, you know, they still have one of the best, I believe, home records in baseball in the past few years. So I don't know if it's the fact that they're playing at home right now that's really doing them well, or just the fact that things are starting to click. Because obviously, you get off to a bad start, you lose about 4 or 5 games in a row. Yeah, there's going to be some negativity, and there's going to be some bad attitudes in the clubhouse. You'd expect that from any team on a losing streak. But you snap out of it, and maybe the Brewers have finally snapped out of it and can make, you know, some serious noise. I mean, obviously it's very early, but if they can find their game plan now, you know, that's huge than finding it 3 months from now when you might be down farther. Because if you can find it now and then incorporate guys later, like when Aramis Ramirez comes back and when Corey Hart comes back, then it's a lot more stronger, because then you can possibly put, you know, Uni B in for a pinch hit or whatever, and he might do well. I mean, I don't know, because maybe this is just one of those things where Uni B has a really good week and then he goes back to regular, you know, Escobar form. But not, you know, Escobar. Oh my, Nisky Betancourt. I'm sorry, I'm really tired. I've hardly gotten any sleep this week. But as I was saying, though, it's one of those things that you can't really tell where it's going right now because it's a little too early. But, you know, if they do well, and then, like I said, they incorporate those guys that already do well enough for them, you know, the Brewers have nothing but success.
Right.
So.
And, yeah, it's important to note that this team isn't at 100% strength right now, and they're still doing really, really well. And who knows how that's going to change once we get, you know, our completely healthy roster back, if you want to call it that. And, you know, there will obviously be decisions to be made about Unesky and you know, some of the young outfielders and things like that. But really, it's encouraging to see that this team is not just going to roll over and I hate to use the term, like, make excuses for injuries and stuff like that. I mean, they're there to play, and they're doing a great job of it so far.
Yeah, and, you know, walk-off wins like what we saw last night, you know, those are huge. And the Brewers, you know, they set themselves into those positions to where they are able to do that. Obviously, you know, being up 3-0 on the Giants and then having it be 3-3 isn't something that they wanted to have happen. But they show that they have the will to fight through that and come back. And you have guys like Jonathan Lucroy, who really has done well in the clutch lately and in late-inning situations. I mean, last night he singles to start off the bottom of the ninth, and, you know, it just starts from there. You know, Prince replaces him on the bases and ends up scoring. So, you know, obviously things are clicking with this team right now.
And yeah, and that's good to see, and you hope it – you certainly hope it continues, obviously. But, you know, and we talked about earlier in the season again that it was like, you know, these little bumps and bruises and they lost games on a lot of, like, bleeder hits and ground balls with eyes and that sort of thing. And we're going to get as many of those breaks come our way as are going to go the other team's way. And, it, you know, you have to be able to sort of roll with it. And I think the Brewers did a good job with that. Obviously, you have to make adjustments when you see something like the struggles that Axford had early in the season, which is not really entirely a mystery of why it's happening. I mean, it's he's struggled before early on in the season. But I think the Brewers have done a good job being patient for the most part, kind of letting the game play itself out without being too reactionary. And, you know, I think it's paying off dividends now.
Yeah. Game update real quick. Carlos Gomez just got hit, believe in the hand area. I wasn't sure because I was looking at the replay of it. It looked like first he fouled it off, but I think he fouled it off by his knuckles. So he looks to be fine. Trainers came out, looked at him. Bochy came out, was talking to the umpire because he thought he fouled it off. But and he just stole second base. So Gomez looks fine.
So Gomez is good. Okay.
Yeah,
I have to watch it on game day today, and I just saw on-field delay. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, he got hit a little bit. So, you know, Carlos Gomez, you know, talking about him as well, signing him to that 3-year deal really for cheap. He really adds to the outfield because, really, his last three games, he's had three hits in each of them. Scoring runs left and right, you know, getting triples, home runs, RBIs, any way he can. And, you know, it's hard to tell what we can expect from Gomez because he's never really been above a 260 career hitter. I mean, that was what he had last year, and that was the highest of his career from his playing days with the New York Mets and the Minnesota Twins. So, you know, obviously he's still fairly young, 27, part of, you know, in the bit of his prime right now.
Yeah, he's in peak years.
Yeah, so I mean, the fact that he's a very ardent base dealer, I mean, 37 bases stolen last year and just stole one today, which I believe is his first of the year now, he's become a real threat. And a lot of people don't realize that.
He has 30-30 potential. His power has a ways to go before he reaches that, you know, kind of more austere level. But, I mean, he's certainly got the potential. And I think people were worried a little bit because he seemed to be, you know, swinging out of his shoes most of the time in the early part of the season. But, I mean, he's come around really well. And like you said, just the guy that's going to get on base and try to get to scoring position any way he can, whether it's through extra bases, stealing bases, or, you know, his discipline's coming around too, which is nice to see. And having him and Lucroy getting hot at the same time adds so much more depth to the lineup. Especially with Gomez at the top, you're pretty much guaranteed a base runner then, especially with Gomez and Aoki. So it's good to see both of them come up. And like I've said before, Gomez adds an extra dimension to the game that I don't think a lot of people think about, having his base running prowess. It has a tendency to worry pitchers when he's on base, and that's obviously a very good thing.
Another quick update. Univee just hit a single and it scored Gomez, so the Brewers are now up 3-0 in the second. So now, you know, it's interesting because you see, oh, never mind. Now it's 5-0 because Yovani Guerrero just hit a home run. and there goes Bernie Brewer. It's really funny because, you know, you have two pitchers in Matt Cain and Yovani Gallardo who really have been off to very, I don't want to say necessarily awful starts, but very uncharacteristic starts, especially for a guy like Matt Cain. Who's now allowed five runs.
Oh, he gave him a four-seamer right down the middle, didn't he?
He did. And really, for a guy like Matt Cain, who has really become the face of the San Francisco Giants pitching rotation with Tim Lincecum just absolutely falling off the face of the earth. And that's really sad to see from a guy like him. And, you know, it's really weird for Matt Cain to start off a season this poorly. Last outing, he got shellacked by the Cardinals, 9 runs. So, you know, you don't know this is a term of some pitchers that just really have, you know, cold Aprils and then warm up. But, you know, maybe it's also a statement about the Brewers. I mean, obviously, we knew Gallardo has power, certainly to hit a home run. But the fact that they're getting to a pitcher like Matt Cain this early in the game, it's obviously saying something about these Brewers and how well their offense really plays out, not only at home, but just against good teams.
Yeah, and well, I don't want to jinx anything, but remember we were talking earlier about this matchup, and I said we're either gonna see a really good pitching duel, or it's going to be an offensive explosion, and it seems like it's going the other way right now.
Yeah, I mean, who needs sack bunts when you have Yovani Gallardo?
Right, and you know, it's interesting. A lot of people don't think about it too often, and especially now with the expansion of interleague play. I mean, people are talking about getting rid of, you know, pitchers hitting entirely, which I hate as an idea. And anyone that brings out the idea of a pitcher batting is a higher risk of injury, a pitcher pitching is a higher risk of injury. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, ask Brandon McCarthy and David Huff about that.
Right. That is an absolute fact. but, you know, and you see the Brewers have always been really good at having pitchers that really have a decent eye at the plate. And, I mean, it makes all the difference in the world, obviously, when you see a guy like Yovani Gallardo here hitting a 2-run home run in the second inning. Talk about helping yourself out. I mean, that's going to – and that changes the scope of the way he's going to pitch now. Up 5 runs, all he's got to do is throw strikes now.
Yeah, because if he throws a meat pitch over the part, you know, heart of the plate, and he gives up a home run to somebody, hopefully Hunter Pence, because I have him. But, you know,
shut up.
Regardless of that, though, yeah, I just he's going to be focused. He's going to be locked in, and yeah, I mean, this is huge for a pitcher who he started off the season really kind of slow, and then he has that incident that happened Tuesday morning that I don't want to really get into because Colin wrote a very nice article about it yesterday, so we're going to have you people read that instead because we don't have an audiobook about it. I mean, it ruins the surprise. So, no, but it just, you know, we always knew Gallardo had power, and for him to really show it off, you know, this type of situation early, you know, obviously that's going to help him bounce back into this game. Maybe and hopefully not. It helps the Giants try to, you know, come back, but, you know, hopefully Gallardo can shut them down. Amanda, please don't be mad at me.
yeah, and, you know, that's really the key. The old quote, I forget who said it, it's been attributed to, you know, a bunch of players, Ted Williams and Warren Spahn specifically, where they say, you know, pitching is about... Or hitting is about timing, and pitching is about disrupting timing. And, you know, a lot of things go into disrupting the flow of a game, and certainly big offensive innings like, you know, back-to-back multiple-run innings can disrupt a lot of the a lot of the mental aspects of the game. And especially when your pitcher hits a home run. I mean, talk about just devastating to the opposing pitcher. It's probably the only thing worse than walking the pitcher.
Or walking a run in, you know, entirely.
Right.
You know, it's just obviously walking the pitcher is a big no-no, but giving up a hit, you know, let alone a home run to him, is just that, you know, god-awful feeling that Matt Cain's probably feeling right now. But, you know, it happens. You know, I don't remember the last pitcher to hit a home run, at least Brewer-wise. It might have been Gallardo. But, I don't know, was it, didn't Estrada hit one?
Yes, Estrada hit a home run last season.
I thought Estrada did. But, I think the only prominent pitcher that I knew that would hit home runs back in the day, and we're talking like 2000s-ish, I think was Mike Hampton. I think he was pretty known for that. But, you know, talking pitching-wise, you know, and when pitchers, you know, start to get those outs, they start to pitch a little bit faster. They start to get a little bit better command because they realize, okay, you know, I'm down this many runs. You know, they try to limit the damage all they can. And it's interesting because we're talking about pitching right now. And the Brewers have announced, since they're going to this former rotation for a temporary time, while Mike Fiers pitches from the bullpen, that they're going to be bringing up a minor leaguer on Saturday to pitch. And they haven't announced who, but Colin and I have a pretty good guess. Either they're going to be Hiram Burgess or Tyler Thornburg.
Yeah, I would lean probably more towards Thornburg just because he has the experience up here, but Burgess had just a tremendous year with the World Baseball Classic, and a lot of people are looking at him, so it wouldn't be surprising if we see him up also. And since it's just going to be limited action, I'm not too concerned about either one that it is. I just hope that we have, you know, the bullpen's ready to go at that point, well rested and you know, can really pick up the slack. Because when you call up a minor leaguer like that, and we saw it with Thornburg, was it last year?
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry, all the seasons are blending together now.
That happens.
We saw, you know, when Thornburg came in, there's a chance for, things to kind of, fall apart pretty quickly. And, you know, a well-rested bullpen at that point is important, but really it's always exciting when you get a call up, to start a game. There's a sort of anticipation about it, like when Thornburg had his debut, and you know he started out really well, and then again we probably kept him in an inning or two too long, but you know, it's always interesting to see.
You know, just another quick update, real quick. It's funny because we were just talking about this pitchers being vulnerable, and Gallardo got drilled by an Angel Pagan pitch. It wasn't too hard; just it hit him like right near the stomach area. He caught it with his glove, but it must have hit his hand because he kept shaking his hand. And trainers came out, Romanicki came out to see what was the problem. He's still pitching; he's still in. But see, it just proves to you how vulnerable pitchers are. You know?
Yeah, and that's something that baseball has to take a look at some point.
It is
dangerous to be out on that mound. I mean, you're elevated, you're alone, you can't really get out of the way of a pitch like or of a ball coming right back at you, and you're so much closer, you have such a shorter reaction time. But
you're 30 feet closer than the regular infielders. So, I mean, that's pretty huge. But, no, going back, I just happened to see that. I just want to go back to the minor leaguer, though. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, they get those jitters that, oh, you know, I'm going to start, you know, I'm going to make a big league start. And, you know, Thornburg really didn't do bad in his debut last season. He went a little too long, so he ended up giving, I believe, 3 or 4 runs up to the Blue Jays. But, no, I mean, Thornburg has experience up here. Burgess had experience against some players in the World Baseball Classic and even into spring training a little bit. You know, like you said, it doesn't really matter how well or how poor they do, because if they do well, then hey, that's a bonus for us. But if they don't do that great, then, you know, then you can put in Fiers or Gorzolani to go for a little bit more and then go to the bullpen. But, you know, it's not really a lose-lose situation here. It's kind of, you know, if he does well, then hey, you know, that's great for us. And, I mean, it's great for their confidence as well. You know, coming up and making that, you know, really, I don't want to say it's an emergency start, but just a spot start that Roger, we don't have Rodgers for, and we don't have Narvison for. So.
Right. And yeah, obviously they want to keep Gorzolani and Figueroa from doing any sort of spot starting work, which makes sense. You want to keep them focused on what their job has to be in the bullpen, even though they could, if necessary, give you 5-6 innings probably, although Figueroa probably not that long. But yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity for whoever gets to come up. We're not sure exactly who yet, and we're not sure if they're going to replace it with someone coming, someone's going to have to come down for it. But no, it'll definitely be interesting to see, and who knows? I mean, if the Brewers keep this momentum up, it could be a very, very easy, relaxed start for whoever gets to come up.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be at home against the Cubs, so, I mean, you're in a more relaxed atmosphere, I believe, because you have a crowd that supports you, and, you've obviously a team that supports you, and just, and I'm not trying to discredit the Cubs here, but, I mean, they're the Cubs, so, I mean, I think, Darwin Barney's still out, so they're hurting a little bit, so, I mean, they might not be that much of a threat to whoever it is that gets to make the start. But, I mean, a lot of people speculated that it might be Jimmy Nelson, and I'm just like, no. And, Colin and I were talking about this before, and, we both agree, and it's nothing to discredit Nelson as a pitcher, but, even at his best, like Colin said, he's probably going to be a September call-up. And, that's something I can really disagree with because, you don't want to rush these pitchers up, and, that's kind of what we did with Thornburg last year, and it hasn't really gone in a way that we could say was good or bad because we didn't really see a whole lot out of Thornburg other than, I think, a few starts here and there and just a few appearances. But nothing too major. But I don't know if rushing pitchers is necessarily the way you want to go, especially on a team that really signed Kyle Lowe out of more necessity than want. So...
Yeah, and I mean, legitimately, we needed a veteran pitcher, and he was the best available at the best available price. So I don't know what more you want out of it, and he's turned out good. So what? I mean, I don't see the issue really.
Yeah, he's turned to be a fine pitcher so far, which gets no run support. I mean, a lot of people were on the fence about it when we signed him, and. People that were opposed to this were only opposed to it for the draft pick because if you look back in November, everybody was on board trying to get Ryan Dempster, and we nearly had him, but he wanted that third year. Doug Melvin wasn't budging. And obviously they had to give in for Lowe's because there's nobody left, like Colin said. And it's not like Lowe's really has been that bad of a pitcher in the past few years. Obviously he's had some struggles in Miller Park, but, the past is the past, and he's been doing really well this season.
Yeah, it's and it's one of those things where I don't blame fans for being, suspicious about the signing, but at the same time, you have to give something a chance to play out, and it's been working out pretty well in the Brewers' favor, I'd say.
Yeah, and, the next time he pitches, hopefully the Brewers can give him a little bit more run support. And it's not like three runs are necessarily not, nothing that you can't work with. But, mistakes happen. The other team can hit. Because you have to credit the other team sometimes. It's just not your pitcher that's falling apart. It's the other team that's hitting really well. And that was the case last night with the Giants. They started to make that little bit of a comeback. But Loesch's next start is scheduled to be Monday against San Diego. So maybe... Maybe he'll see a little bit of a better time there. Who knows? San Diego is one of these clubs that they're going to surprise you. Obviously, they have a lot of pitching woes, so hopefully the Brewers can get their own support. But they have some pretty decent bats, though. Chris DeNorfia, Yonder Alonso, and even Chase Headley is now back. So the Brewers might have their hands tied a little bit with the Padres. But, I mean, if they can take on the Giants, I'm pretty sure they can take on anybody at this point.
Oh, yeah. The way they're playing right now, I'm not
super concerned about any of the matchups, but, you know, as has been the theme this for this podcast, I mean, baseball is baseball, and it's hard to predict. But, yeah, in terms of Loesch, I think the important thing is, you know, you keep seeing solid performances out of him. The offense is going to catch up one of these days, and he's going to start putting together wins.
Yeah, because like you brought the Marco Estrada example earlier, and, you know, he's done well. I mean, in his last game, what did he have, like 8 more strikeouts or something? Like 6 to 8 more strikeouts? And it's just, he's turned out to be really a beneficial pitcher for the Brewers. He's really stepped in because, you know, obviously you had Narvison and Gallardo heading into 2013 before we picked up Loesch, and there wasn't, you know, really, we weren't really certain who was going to take, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we're like, okay, Straw's going to be number 2, and he's done really well as the number 2.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, people might get on Loesch, oh, he doesn't have any wins, but yeah, but he leads the team in ERA, and, you know, he's done really well, you know, in his performances so far. So, it might take time for him to get his first win. You know, it happened with Estrada, but hey, you know, patience is the name of the game sometimes.
Right. And my dad's still on the hook. He says Kyle Loesch will have a record around 14-10 this year. So, which isn't a bad, I don't think that's a bad prediction. You know, he's going to make a lot of starts. And he's had a couple seasons with double-digit wins, so it's not out of the question, I don't think.
No, not at all. Well, obviously, last segment we're going to get to today is hitter and pitcher of the week. I think Colin and I both agree on the hitter of the week.
Yes, welcome to the promised land, Unesky Betancourt. I mean, just on fire recently, and I, again, out of nowhere, basically, who would have thought that we would be talking about Unesky Betancourt like this, but he's been doing really, really, really well, hitting .313 over the last 7 games, 4 strikeouts, 7 RBIs, 2 home runs, and 2 doubles. Just a beast right now. Carlos Gomez, he gets a nod as well. He's 9 for his last 16 with a triple, a home run, 2 RBIs. And then I think give it up to Lucroy a little bit. Only 1 strikeout in his last 16 at-bats, 3 RBIs, 1 home run, and 2 runs scored.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know, besides maybe Segura, who's starting to cool off just a tad, and same with Aoki. I don't know if there's anybody that's more on fire right now, like you said, than Betancourt. He is just, every time he's at the plate, I mean, he gets intentionally walked last night. When will that ever happen again in baseball? That you
don't know.
Betancourt gets intentionally walked.
Right. And it just goes to show you, you know, like, when you're dealing with ball players especially, I mean, there are times where you just have to, kind of hang your attitude and just enjoy the ride. And really, that's what's happening with Uni right now. Yes, he's going to stumble and trip every once in a while, and he is so much fun to poke fun at. But I mean, when he's hot, and you have to kind of accept that. So good for him.
Yep. So Colin, who is your pitcher of the week? Because I'm sure we might disagree here, but I don't know. I'm going to be surprised.
My pitcher of the week, it's difficult because there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of good options right now. Like we said, pretty much the whole bullpen is firing out really well, but I'm going to say Tom Gorzolani. A couple walks, yes, some kind of dangerous situations, but, I mean, his whip is right at 1 right now after 3 innings. 2 strikeouts, only 1 hit. Although Brandon Kinsler has been performing pretty well.
Yeah, so I guess we do disagree here because I'm going to have to go to Jim Henderson. Just really for the sheer fact that he's pitched in 7 games so far and he's only allowed 1 run. 2 saves, 2 wins. Striking out, you know, at least a batter a game, only 1 walk. It's just been really impressive to see him step into that closer role. That really, I guess you could say, is almost his in a sense, considering he had that last year with the closer committee part that they had going on with Axford struggles. But, you know, there really isn't an easy choice to make. Obviously, Gorzolani was right there with me, along with Marco Estrada, who's up there. But really, it's one of those situations that there really is no wrong answer for pitcher of the week.
Right. It's I mean, the starting pitching is starting to struggle a little bit, but that bullpen's coming up and fighting off the slack, and that's great. And even like we were talking about earlier, I mean, Axford has a couple innings in low leverage situations, and you know, two innings, one hit, one strikeout, nothing spectacular, but getting the job done, and sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, and I mean, whatever gets the job done in the most efficient way, and if that happens to be the way, then hey, you know, it'll win games for you.
Exactly. So things are looking up in Brewer Nation right now.
Right now, they currently have a 5-0 lead on the Giants in the third. We're on first. Luke Roy is up. And, well, folks, I don't know how much longer we're going to do this podcast for today because kind of want to watch the game. So thank you again for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you later, guys.